3 Nigeria Info. Nigeria Info. Information. Information is a source of development. Stay tuned.
This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
And we are the nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. We're broadcasting live from Etemi and Crescent Victoria Island, Lagos, Nigeria. How are you, Lagos? How are you today? It's Thursday, right? And it's the last day of the month of September, which means that we are moving into the last quarter of the year by tomorrow. And this morning we had something very amazing. We did an open mic at 5 a.m. this morning. I loved it. So a lot of people are telling me that we should continue with the open mic thingy. Maybe we'll do that every Thursday. Maybe we'll move it to Friday, right? We'll do open mic on Friday. I'll tell you more to do it on Friday morning. Because, you know, a lot of things are happening in this country. And, you know, we have to talk about them. If you're watching on Facebook, you're welcome. It's a pleasure to know that you're there. If you're on YouTube, you're welcome as well. If you're in the diaspora and you'd like to join the conversation this morning, please feel free. We're using the WhatsApp, the Skype. You can call us via Skype. Thanks to those that always call us from the diaspora. WhatsApp is also there for you to be a part of the show. I'm Sheriff Quadri. This morning we're talking malaria, something that really, really bothers me a lot. The World Health Organization, WHO, estimates that over 1 million children worldwide lose their mothers annually. And the children who lose their mothers are 10 times more likely to die prematurely. Prematurely. 10 times more likely to die. Now, this shows that countries with high maternal mortality ratios also record high infant and child mortality rates as well. This is according to the WHO. Now, according to a United Nations International Children's Emergency Fund, UNICEF, report, now, some of the major causes of high MMR in Nigeria include hemorrhage, obstructed labor, malaria, and complicated abortions. Now, malaria is one of the most severe public health problems worldwide, no doubt about it. In fact, in many countries affected by malaria, it is a leading cause of illness and death, especially the developing countries. And you know, Nigeria is just right there in the front. According to the World Health Organization, again, the WHO Africa region in 2019 said, and I quote, malaria was home to, Africa rather, was home to 94% of malaria cases and deaths. Now, that is, to me, it's disheartening. Now, let's come to Nigeria. The effect of malaria on maternal mortality rates in Nigeria still remains one of the major public challenges, public health challenges. According to the 2020 World Malaria Report, Nigeria had the highest number of global malaria cases. Let me put it very direct to you. 27%. 27% of global malaria cases in 2019. Nigeria accounted for the highest number of deaths, 23% of global malaria deaths. What did we do? I mean, what is going on? I don't understand it. See, at this point, I'm going to introduce my guest, who you've heard a sweet voice. Ochuko Keamoinge is here. Ochuko is the director, Corporate Alliance on Malaria in Africa. Am I correct?
You're correct.
Chico, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sheriff. Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you here.
Thank you.
How was your night, by the way?
It was great.
You look well rested.
Not really. I woke up super early just to beat the traffic to get here. Yes. And so, but I think I'm good. Yes.
Let me ask a very cheesy question. Do you still have to contend with mosquitoes?
Sure. Let me give a recent example.
Yeah.
My husband, as I speak, is being treated of malaria. For the past 2 days, he has been down. And that's 2 days lost of productivity.
That's right.
Due to malaria.
That's right.
So it's real. What we're talking about is real. Though the impact is more on children and women.
Yeah.
Because of their immunity. Mm. But you and I, everyday Nigerians, are also prone to malaria. They are at risk of malaria.
I'm going to support that because my assistant, Zainab, is currently off work because her baby came down with malaria. She was in the hospital all through yesterday. The test came out and the baby, a few months old, diagnosed with malaria. She's undergoing some treatments right now. And it's quite sad when at this age we're still talking about. Please tell me, Ochiko. Tell me about what are we looking at? What kind of impact are we looking at? Malaria impact. What are we looking at? What is it exactly?
So you've mentioned a number of the statistics already.
Right.
But I'll just add to what you just said. Mm. So malaria, let me start from what malaria is.
Yeah.
Malaria is a disease that is caused by a Plasmodium parasite transmitted to humans via through the female Anopheles mosquito.
Mm.
And as you've mentioned already, in 2019, WHO World Malaria Report recorded that we had about 229 million cases worldwide of malaria. And then that led to about 409,000 deaths globally.
Mm.
And you've already mentioned that about 23% of that number, actually it's contributed by Nigeria. That's one in four person that, you know, has malaria lives in Nigeria. And 67% of that number are children under five. As I speak, as we speak, every 2 minutes, a child dies of malaria.
My word.
That's how bad it is. That is, let me translate it to numbers, because it's like when we talk about percentage, people don't get the gravity of the challenge. That's about 705,000 deaths annually.
My word.
Yes, or daily of children dying of malaria.
Hmm.
So as it's not something that we should joke with. Maybe I should narrate this. Your cousin is lucky that a baby is still breathing and alive.
Yeah.
We had an episode of a child that died in Abuja recently in August. She was like 8 years old.
Oh.
The problem was she was not properly diagnosed on time, and she was asymptomatic, that the symptoms were ensuring. So there was no. They couldn't tell it was malaria until it was at the latter end, you know, the last stage of the disease, and she ended up dying of the disease. So it's not something that we should joke about. It kills as we speak, and we have to do something about it.
Listen, I want to get people in on this conversation as early as possible. I want to hear people's struggles with malaria. And I want them to share this so that, you know, we can go along together in discussing this course that has been with us for years now, unending. In fact, there was a report just recently by the WHO that the malaria parasite is getting used to the current treatment that we have right now. And to me, that is, if you are not scared of anything before, even COVID, if you're not scared of COVID before, you should be scared of this one. That the current treatment that you just go and pick up at the chemist or the pharmacy shop now, that treatment may not work anymore because the parasite is adapting to it and it's making it quite difficult. Now, let's look at management of this issue, because a lot of people between you and me. Okay, sorry. So people are listening to us. So it's not between you and me anymore. People tend to resort to self-help, self-medication.
I'm glad you're bringing that up.
When it comes to malaria treatment. Talk to me about this.
I'm glad you mentioned the resistance and of the parasite to our current medication, which is the one that's recommended by WHO is artemisinin combination therapy. And that's what we've been using over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And it was recently seen that, you know, we are getting resistant to this medication. And that's due to our behavior, the things we do.
Mm-hmm.
You just mentioned a typical Nigerian feeling feverish or fatigue or chills or something, we just walk to a chemist. We call them patent pharmacy shops, and they just walk in there, and they may not even tell the pharmacist what they feel, you know, the symptoms they're having.
Yeah.
They just go ahead and get the medication. Yes, and that has led to resistance over time, and so we need to stop this. in addition to what we do in our, you know, and we also need to take care of our environment.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
The environment that we live in the tropical society that we are,
yeah,
actually with a lot of water and swampy areas mm-hmm. around, actually give room for breeding of the mosquitoes.
Mm.
And so we need to be able to, we need to drain our gutters very well, clean our environment, ensure that we're surrounding us as clean, and that would help us to manage it to a point. But I would say managing of malaria is multi-sector, is a multifaceted, you know, approach. So in pregnancy, we're talking about malaria in women and children, right?
Yeah.
We've mentioned children.
Yeah.
In malaria in pregnancy can lead to anemia.
Yeah.
It can lead to preterm labor. It can lead to a stillbirth, and it can even lead to the death of the child. So it's very fertile for maternal and neonatal and neonatals. So it's very, very fertile. So what we and what WHO has recommended is there are three strategies that have been recommended by WHO. One is usage of bed nets, sleeping under ITN, insecticidal treated bed nets.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Two is prompt diagnosis and treatment, which is critical. The earlier you diagnose it and treat it with the right medication is important. But we need to stress, test before treatment.
Right.
Not going to one nearby pharmacy and trying to get a medication off the counter. You need to test before treatment. There are rapid diagnostic tests that you can actually, you know, use and write in time. Within less than a few minutes, you have the results.
What are those? What are the rapid diagnostics? What does that mean?
So a rapid diagnostic test is a test kit that have been developed and manufactured for different diseases.
Okay.
You have it for HIV,
yeah,
you have it for other diseases and including malaria.
That's right.
And so it's something that due to the challenges we're having with microscopy, if you want to do a microscopy test, that would take a long time, like hours waiting, and it depends on the lab itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
But with a rapid diagnostic test, it's something you can easily do and within an hour or less you get the results.
And it's accessible to the people?
It's in most hospitals and it's in most pharmacy. In fact, most organizations are like the USAIDs, a number of NGOs have donated this for free to these institutions, so patients can easily access it. And when you have a patient walk into your facility, you should test before treatment. Yes, indeed. That is what is recommended.
Please talk to me about the impact of poverty in managing malaria. Then we'll come to maternal and child mortality in detail. Because, listen, Ochiko, people fall ill, but then they don't have the resources, you know, to access treatment. What's the impact of this on malaria treatment?
It's huge. So malaria itself is a cause of poverty. The disease and the cost of treatment has trapped families in a cycle of, I would say, illness, suffering, and poverty. And that aside, it's also that translates to the impact on the economy.
Right.
And even businesses, like you mentioned, you have somebody that, you know, causing. And my husband, as I said, is at home due to malaria. So it actually impacts on businesses. So it's a disease that causes poverty. And it's sad and it's a disease that affects those that are poor. I would say it's a disease more of because if you're sick, like you mentioned, you don't have access to treatment, you don't have access to diagnosis and all of that, and it impacts on your health. But that is why a number of organizations are coming together with the government to support what the government is doing.
Right.
And so we can provide what the commodities and the tools that are needed at that level, at a primary healthcare level. So those at that level will be able to assess the tools that is needed.
I'm glad you mentioned a number of organizations, because and you said something earlier that really struck me, like nobody can do it alone. It's a collective effort that can eradicate malaria. But I'm going to take you on organizations coming in together. The Corporate Alliance on Malaria in Africa is one of such organizations that is saying that, look, we must stamp out malaria from Africa. We're losing a lot of our children, our babies, and our mothers, our adults, you know, to malaria. Tell us about this initiative, really.
Thank you. So the Corporate Alliance in Malaria in Africa is called CAMA. is an initiative of GBC Health, which is a global business coalition for health,
okay.
an NGO based in New York.
Okay.
And it was formed years ago by a number of companies that have seen the impact of malaria on their employees and their bottom line, their business in general.
It's affecting their
business. Exactly. It's affecting their business. So they've decided to come together. Can we do something to support what the government is doing so we can bring down the burden of malaria? And that was what led to the birth of Karma.
Yeah.
So the number of companies that within the organization, if you want me to call them, I can mention
them.
Let's
not mention them. If you are going to pay me, let's not mention them. tell me exactly what these companies are doing.
Okay, so Karma is, like I mentioned, is an alliance of companies coming together to fight malaria. And
how are they helping
the foster partnerships, strategic partnership to bring malaria to an end.
Okay.
They support governments in endemic countries, aligned with their efforts in countries, bridge the gap on what that is in countries to ensure that we achieve our desired goal and whatever countries that we're working in. So we work in endemic countries like Nigeria, DRC, Congo, Ghana, Angola, Kenya, Southern Africa, and a number of other countries. And we believe in fostering partnership. We believe in supporting efforts, multi-sectoral efforts to bring malaria to an end. And so recently, because of believe and what we're trying to do, we launched an initiative called the End Malaria Project.
The End Malaria Project.
Yes. That was earlier in 2021 during World Malaria Day, April 2021. And that was supported by a number of organizations, including the Ministry of Health, and a number of private sector organizations and multilateral organizations.
Yeah.
The aim is a 3-year project to galvanize the resources and the capacity of the private sector to sustain malaria efforts, you know, in times like this, understanding that we're in an era of COVID and the pandemic that is even, you know, impacting on other diseases, including malaria.
That's right.
We needed to do something. To see, okay, what can we do to sustain efforts in the fight against malaria? That is what we're doing.
Let's go to break. When we return, I'm going to talk to you some more on the specifics of the End Malaria Project, what people need to know about it, and the information that would benefit the people about that project. Let's go to break. We'll be right back.
Nigeria Info, we're back. It's Health Thursday. You know, every Thursday we discuss health, and this morning we're looking at malaria and how it affects maternal and child mortality in Nigeria. The stats are gory. They are disheartening. The numbers, I just couldn't go ahead with them because, listen, you know yourself. You can even prove it. In fact, let's do something. Tell us about your struggle with malaria. Tell us about your experience with malaria. 0700-993-993-993. And for the ladies, female only is 01465-7190. I want to know exactly what you've been dealing with malaria-wise. If you've dealt with it before, just your experience, basically. Your real, true life experience on malaria, we'd like to know this morning. The female only line is open right now. The male only line is also open. If you'd like to share yours via WhatsApp, you're free to do that as well. All I would implore you to do is, please be very brief about it so I can, continue our conversation with Ochiko, our guest this morning, all right? And please turn off your radio when you're calling in. It's very important that you do that. Let's see our first caller that we've got here. Hello, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning. Welcome.
Sorry?
Yes, please. We can hear you.
Yes, well, my name is Bioye from Yaba.
Welcome, Bioye.
I just took my last dose of malaria last night.
Oh.
I think this is my third time having it this year.
Wow.
Second or third, I don't know. But I have two questions for her. The first one is, can you get malaria without mosquito bites, or that's the only way? And the second one is, if you're AA, are you more susceptible to malaria?
I'm guessing you're AA.
I've been hearing that. I don't know if it's true or not. That's basically my question.
All right, VAA. Thank you for calling. We'll attempt those. Let's speak with Stanley. Stanley is a first-time caller. Stanley, hi. Morning to you.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning.
Yes, please.
I'm happy calling Nigeria Info this morning.
It's good to have you.
Yeah. To be sincere with you, I'm very grateful for what you people are discussing this morning, especially the statistics that the guest is saying.
Right.
My question is, I found out that whenever I work. My work engages me that sometimes I work through the night.
Okay.
And then if I'm having symptoms and I work overnight to the following morning, I find out that my what I term to be malaria gets worse. That is the symptoms I do have over malaria. And most times, it doesn't take up to a month. I take malaria more often than sometimes people at the work will continue to say, how long will you continue? Every time, malaria. It really keeps me disturbing.
But have you gone for a checkup, though? Because that's what is important.
I do. Whenever I go for a test, I do regularly. And I'll be told sometimes it's always that I have malaria.
Oh.
Sometimes they say malaria, this is a parasite, something like that. It's regularly, whenever I do go for tests, the result shows malaria parasite.
Hmm. Okay, all right. We'll try and attempt that as well. Let's speak with Chris. Chris is going. Hi, Chris. Morning to you.
Yeah, Chief Padre, good morning.
Morning to you.
Oh, I guess morning.
Mm.
Chief Padre, my own day, 2 days ago, I went to my mechanic just to make sure and see what they are doing. I stay under the sun with them.
Okay.
Then after that, I have this malaria. So I want to find out from my God, staying under the sun, does it cause malaria? Because this is the second time now.
Okay. All right, Chris, thank you. Now let's put the three together. Let's start with staying under the sun.
Oh God, that's so funny. There are a lot of myths I'll say around malaria.
Yeah.
And that's also, I'll tie it to the first question around, the lady that asked the question around transmission, how else can we get?
Yeah.
So it's similar. The only way you can get malaria is via a mosquito bite, female Anopheles mosquito bite. There's no other way. Mm. So, sir, being under the sun does not give you malaria.
Right.
Probably you're fatigued and probably because of the weather, you get tired and you're hungry or you needed to rest or something.
Or just stressed.
Yeah. So I would advise you rest. At some point and just, you know, gain your strength. Mm. But for sun cannot cause malaria. No. Mm. That's not possible.
The first caller also spoke about the AA.
Yes. So a lot of studies have been done, and especially in children, it was found that children with genotype AA were more susceptible to malaria parasites.
Oh,
yes.
So I didn't know that.
Yes, so she's actually...
I'm AA. I don't have malaria that often.
And maybe you're one of those that take preventive measures and you're just favored or one of the few that are not affected. But studies have been done and it's shown that those with are more prone to. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, now I'm scared.
And I'm also in that category, but I don't fall ill of malaria often because I protect myself.
Ah.
And the other guy talked about walking at night.
Yes.
And if you walk at night, it's recommended that you wear protective clothing.
Okay.
Like things that will cover your hands and legs and just keep away from mosquito bite at night. And you also, I think I will also recommend that whenever it goes for checkup, it should test regularly and ensure that the parasite has cleared off its system. Completely, you know, because sometimes you're taking a medication.
Go for a complete treatment,
exactly. Without, and you have to comply, ensure that you take the dosage till the very end. If it's 3 days, 5 days, whatever it is, take it to the very end and ensure.
Because when people feel that they're getting better, they just stop.
And that is a problem. Non-compliance is a problem. So I would recommend you take your dosage as recommended by your doctor.
All right, we're going to take some more calls. Hello, good morning to you. Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you.
My name is Adeva. I'm calling from Lagos.
Welcome, Adeva.
I just wanted to find out. I know she did mention that, you know, people just go to the chemist stores and they buy drugs off the shelves.
Yeah.
Is that possible to control this? Because we all know abroad, you cannot just go to buy medication off the shelf.
Yeah.
You know, how can we restrict this? Such that people can only go to those chemist stores with prescriptions. You know, can KAMA and other medical associations help, you know, with this? Thank you.
That's a brilliant question, Adeze. Thank you for calling. I'm going to take Mohammed's call, then we put the two together. Mohammed, morning to you.
Good morning, Sheriff.
Yes, please.
There's something I used to notice about that. Whenever I have malaria, I don't have to take drugs 2-3 days. thing will leave.
And you'll feel better again.
The next one I have will be critical.
Yes, now.
No, the next one will be critical and first one. But we eat. There was this last 2 months.
Yeah.
Everybody at home had malaria. It's only me. They use work clean me for house. That's one that maybe it's possible. I'm AS.
Okay.
So that it, maybe it's possible for someone to be as naturally immune to the parasite. Thank you.
Mohammed, thank you. Mohammed wants to know if it's possible for someone, if there is some natural immunity to malaria parasite. I've heard that thing about AS2 before.
For people that live in endemic countries,
yeah.
over time you build a level of immunity
yeah.
that can fight off the disease. But still, you can still come down with malaria.
It's not foolproof.
No, it's not foolproof. No, it's not. If it was foolproof, you and I shouldn't be having malaria anymore. Over time.
I mean, we grew up, we were born here, so we...
Yes, so it's not foolproof, but so we advise that you take your medication.
Let's take Karina's call, then we'll come to the first caller. Hello, Karina, morning to you.
Good morning, Sheriff.
Yes, please.
And the doctor in the house. I want to say that I am AS.
Yeah.
And the last time I had malaria, I was about 9 years old, and for over 40 years, I've not gone down with malaria fever at all.
For about 9 years now?
Wow.
No. I was 9 years old.
Oh,
when I
the
had
last
malaria
time you had malaria.
Wow.
I haven't had malaria for over 40 years.
Oh, wow. That's miraculous.
Yes, I would say that.
What do you think could be responsible for this, Karina?
I don't know. I used to brag. I used to say, see, any malaria, any mosquito that bites me will die of malaria fever.
Maybe we should come check your sample, get your blood sample, and do some
tests. Okay, no problem.
You could just be the breakthrough that scientists are looking for right now. Karina, thank you for sharing your story with us.
Wow.
Yeah, the previous caller, Adeze, spoke about regulation.
Yeah.
What do you think can be done? Do you think that's a possibility?
That's, yes. Like I said, and the challenges we have with malaria is multifaceted, and that is one of the problems we have. And over the years, we've been working with institutions like USAID. They're one of those organizations that are actually looking at regulation and training of these pharmacies at the patent medical stores.
Yeah.
And also creating awareness to the public.
Right.
So there are different ways of going about it. While you're training the public health, the pharmacist and the public health practitioners there, you have to also create awareness, educating people on what they have to do when they fall ill or when they have symptoms.
Right.
And so a number of organizations are doing that. And I know we have meetings with NAFDAC, which is a regulatory body in Nigeria. Mm. They're also looking at how they can put measures in place.
Another thing I think we also need to talk more about how people can... We need to educate the populace about how they can identify fake drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have a very huge problem right now about fake drugs.
Yeah.
Fake drugs are everywhere. It's almost as though Nigeria is a dumping ground for fake drugs, and it's very important for people to know what to look out for, how to identify. Some people even go as far as Ochoko. Some people go as far as buying drugs that you have foreign languages that you may use in this writing description.
Yeah.
I mean, how would you
understand.
Do that to yourself?
Yes.
Something that you can't even read.
So this, like I said, that is a problem that has been existing, and the likes of NAFDAC are working on curbing some of those challenges that we have. And we're also, some of those pharmaceutical companies, names I can't mention, are also doing some things. I think you would have seen it. They put numbers.
Yeah.
And so you can scratch the numbers.
The secret code, yeah.
Exactly.
To when confirm the authenticity of the drug.
Exactly. And that is what they're doing. And and that has helped and gone a long way to help. But we can do more in that area to ensure that that is caught.
We sanitize that space.
Yes.
Let's take some more calls before I come to you. Time is going. Let me come to you. This time will leave us behind.
It's interesting hearing from the public.
This time will leave us behind, Jerry. Now, before the break, I was... See, it's now that all of them are outside.
You're calling. You can take a few more calls.
Okay, let's take a few more calls. Yeah. Hello, good morning to you.
Morning.
Yes, please.
Yes.
Where with you?
Yes, I want to say that this our Nigerian people are not trying at all. You know, in terms of cleanliness, in the area.
In terms of cleanliness?
Yes. We don't, we are not into fumigation, we don't fumigate anything, we don't, everywhere is dirty, and all these things contribute to a lot of mosquitoes.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Causing malaria up and down.
I agree.
People.
I agree.
I've been privileged to be somewhere in Malaysia sometime.
Okay.
Every week, these people always, maybe twice in a week, everywhere with tractors. You can even sleep in your house without closing the doors. Nothing like mosquitoes.
Wow.
So, I don't know why Nigerians are so self-centered. Everybody is always interested in putting money in his pocket. They don't care about the public.
Thank you.
They like to care about the people.
That's right. I agree with you totally. I think we need to do more. Thank you for calling. I think we need to do more, Chico, in taking care of our environment, really. A lot of people just take a lot of things for granted.
Yeah.
And they don't know what you put in the environment, what the environment gives back to you.
Yeah, I've always said that you can't take away. The environment affects the health of everyone.
That's right.
And so in terms of strategies that have been put in place or that will be put in place, I know that in Nigerian government, Minister of Health, they have a robust strategy which includes vector control, prevention, and that is something that we should do. Which includes usage of bed nets and fumigation, like this guy just mentioned, and usage of indoor respirator spray.
At some point, I know that they're giving out free mosquito-treated nets to pregnant women, to people. Do they still do that thing?
They still do that, like campaigns in every state, in different states, and different organizations, in addition to what...
Because I know that time some people even have two, three nets.
Different organizations, they give that out freely. But one challenge we've had is usage. Beyond just, access to the bed nets.
Don't just get it, use it.
People are having challenges using the bed nets due to a number of reasons, depending on what location you are in Nigeria.
Yeah.
And for those in the north, they complain of the heat, and so that is also one problem. But we're doing what we can on our part as an organization, in collaboration with different organizations, to create awareness around usage of bed nets and the importance of using it, especially for women and children.
Let me talk to you about what KAMA is doing, the specific details of the End Malaria Project. What are the actions that you're doing? Because I'm really interested, and I know I want my people to know as well what you're doing.
Okay, so like I mentioned, it's a 3-year project that is aimed to galvanize the private sector resources to sustain malaria efforts in Africa.
Yeah.
And we're starting with Nigeria for obvious reasons, because of the burden.
Yeah.
Over 2-3 years, we're going to scale up to other African countries. And the interventions have been made to align with WHO and the Ministry of Health and strategy for the country.
Yeah.
And that includes the ABCD strategy.
Okay.
So A, which is for awareness creation, like we've mentioned.
That's what we're
people
doing
need
now.
To be aware, yes, and that's what we're doing now. Two, the B is for bite prevention, which includes vector control, usage of bed nets, and indoor respirator spray, and even fumigation, like that guy mentioned.
Yeah.
And then C is usage of chemoprophylaxis.
Yeah.
So it's recommended for women, pregnant women, there's what we call IPTP, intermittent preventive treatment for women in pregnancy.
Yeah.
And it's recommended that women, pregnant women, take that like 3 times in their, pregnancy.
During the course of the pregnancy.
Course of the pregnancy.
Their physician would know how to do that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then the D is for diagnosis and then treatment, which is very important. So interventions are cutting across these 4 areas to ensure that we cover, we reduce the burden of malaria in Nigeria and other African countries where we'll be focused on over time. Yes.
Indeed.
And the aim is to reduce the burden of malaria in endemic communities by 70%.
70%?
Yes.
Is there a duration for this?
Yeah, 3 years.
It's
a 3 years project.
By 70%?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's big.
I know, that's huge. And so we are not doing it across the old states of the Federation.
Yeah.
We are focusing on high burden states and communities.
Oh, okay.
And so there was a stratification that was done by WHO recently that actually stratified different states into their endemicity. And so you can tell what state is more endemic and what interventions that you can should carry out in those states.
Fantastic.
And we're actually working with those guidelines.
Fantastic. Yeah. I mean, when you know, when we started, you talked about some organizations abroad, India abroad, that have come together. And I'm wondering, what are the organizations in Nigeria doing? I mean, don't we have private sector in Nigeria? What's their own contribution? Are they involved in this?
They are very much involved in this. So KAMA is a coalition of different organizations from different sectors, from different geographies, which includes multinationals and local businesses as well.
Local.
So our local businesses
have
stepped up. I'm
don't
not mentioning
mention
their names.
So. You are going to pay me money.
I'm not mentioning it, but they've stepped up and they're doing very well.
Yeah.
And they've understood that this is something that we have to fight, and they're working with us to do that.
I mean, I have to give them applause because I've always thought that, you know, our local businesses don't do enough in giving back to the society. I'm glad to hear this from you, Chico, this morning, that they are actually involved in trying to eradicate malaria. We have a couple more minutes to go. I can squeeze in a call, then take some messages, then come back to you on other solution areas that you feel that we can look at in trying to eradicate malaria. Let's see who is on this line. Hello, good morning to you. Yes, good morning to you. Yes, good morning to you.
I want to contribute to you that everyone can do to eradicate malaria, because malaria, the cause of malaria is in the artificial food.
Is in the what?
It's artificial food.
But you know that you are not saying the right thing. I don't even know the word to use for you. But how can you say that the cause of malaria is in artificial food?
It's inside artificial food. If you stop eating artificial food, anybody when they speak malaria, eat natural food for 1 month, they can never get malaria.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you for your thought. Madam Ife is here. Let's speak with her. Good morning to you.
Sorry, good morning.
Yes, ma'am.
Good morning, Achuko.
Good morning.
somebody like me, I'm AA. And I've lived in two sides of this Lagos, the city and the suburb. When I was living in Aguda, Tuleri, man, every two months I must treat malaria. Because there is a gutter in front of the house.
Yeah.
Nobody cleans it. Local government does not bother. So, you know, at least if we get gutters for us, every 2 months I'll be taking a malaria injection. Like, but when I came to the suburb, it reduced drastically, at least 90%. But what I noticed, the drainage here, man, if it rains, no larva, no egg will come to production. The storm will pick everything on the road, inside the drainage, back to a bigger drainage. Very big drainage, and it's been like that. So I hardly treat malaria. And two, I live at the two-story building. I'm at the top.
Okay.
When I see mosquito in my apartment, I'll say, "What is this one define?" Of course, I will flit it, and that's it. Maybe for another 6 months, I will not see something. So I still believe that the local government should take charge of our drainages and kill these mosquitoes.
Right.
And their larva, their eggs, it will not germinate. It will, you know, because it's too late. Everybody in a big man now. I mean, one go clean gutter. But yeah, they do it. And at the same time, natural things like rain help us to clean our drainages.
And Ife, thank you. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. We're going to go to break, our final break. When we return, we'll quickly look at the other solution areas before we... quality morning today. Stay with us here on Nigeria Info 99.3. Just a quick break and we'll be right back. So apparently we don't have that much time I thought we had, but we have to go now, Ochiko. If you can, let's have your last word. Maybe you'd like to end with a solution type.
Yeah, so I'll just say that we've already agreed that malaria is a multifaceted disease and needs a multidimensional approach. And you and I, we have a role to play. The government have their role to play. I would recommend that we have strengthened our health system to be able to and shape policies that will even integrate malaria with other diseases like reproductive health, newborn maternal health, and all that. We need a strong political will and increase of funds. We need innovation in the area of R&D and, you know, treatments and all of that.
Yeah.
And then you and I, like I said, you can clean your environment, sleep under a bed net, not just having it, not just buying it, sleep under a bed net, and avoid self-medication, test before treatment. And I'm sure that that will go a long way to bring us to our desired goal of eradicating malaria.
Thank you. Ochiko Kayamo Oige joins us this morning. She's the director, Corporate Alliance on malaria in Africa. Thank you so much for joining us on the program today.
Thank you.
It's
so
a pleasure.
Much. I had fun.
Yeah, I had fun too. And please take care of yourselves. If you're joining us and you've listened to the show, you can watch the show again on Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3, and also on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. Let's bring you the news. After the news, it'll be time to join Jimmy Su on Daily Digest.
The headline news. 99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.